Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
North Korea has prepared a long-range rocket for use in a controversial launch later this month. That launch comes amid reports that perhaps North Korea is planning a nuclear test as well. South Korean officials say they have new satellite images that suggest the North is preparing to carry out a third test at the same site where tests of a nuclear bomb were carried out in 2006 and 2009. Pyongyang says the launch of the Unha-3 rocket is for peaceful purposes, but opponents of that launch fear it's a disguised long-range missile test. Damian Grammaticus, correspondent with our partner, the BBC, was among a small group of foreign journalists taken by train to North Korea's northwest coast to see the final preparations for this rocket launch.
Hidden behind a fold in the hills on North Korea's coastline, its Unha rocket looked almost ready for launch. Painted with the North Korean flag, it towered 30 meters high. Soldiers stood guard while technicians beavered away. It is a birthday present for the North's former dictator, Kim Il-sung, designed to put a satellite into polar orbit to mark his 100th birthday, even though he died 17 years ago. North Korea wants to convince its own people that their nation is now strong and prosperous. I asked the director of the launch site whether his country should be putting its effort into a satellite launch when it can't even feed all of its own people. If we don't develop our own technology, he said, we will become slaves. We need our own technology to be an advanced country, to be a powerful space nation. But America, Japan, and South Korea all say the launch is a disguise to test technology for intercontinental ballistic missiles, and UN resolutions ban such launches. They have threatened to shoot down the rocket and could seek new sanctions. The North says any of those responses would be considered hostile acts, but it seems determined to go ahead, even if it sets off a dangerous cascade of events.
That is the BBC's Damian Grammaticus reporting from North Korea. Meanwhile, the U.S. and its allies are planning a new round of negotiations with Iran. They're set to begin on Friday. One of the U.S. demands is that Iranian leaders close and then dismantle the nuclear facility that's located deep under a mountain in Iran. That's according to our partner, The New York Times. And Stephen Erlanger is Paris bureau chief for The New York Times. Stephen, does it look as though these negotiations will be derailed, or will they actually begin on Friday?
Well, it looks now that they will begin on Friday, though it's possible they might begin on Saturday. Everything has been very confusing about this whole business. But the Iranians, having first rejected the idea of going to Istanbul, have now accepted it. The big question will be how long the first round lasts and whether there's enough progress to feel that everyone's negotiating seriously in order to have a second round.
What is behind this demand by the U.S. that they eventually close and dismantle this nuclear facility? Why accept that as a precondition instead of just negotiate on it?
Well, they do intend to negotiate on it, but what the problem is this facility called Fordo is deep inside a mountain, which means it's very difficult to get to, let alone bomb. It has not been, it was built in secret, and then it was revealed later, and it has been enriching uranium to 20%, which is fairly high. It's only a few steps short of bomb-level uranium. And the West, which, after all, there are UN Security Council resolutions ordering Iran to stop enrichment, the West wants to make sure that all the uranium at 20% or above is removed from the country, and then they can negotiate with Iran about whether they can keep enriching at all. The problem is Iran has lost credibility with the UN Security Council and with the Atomic Energy Agency, which is supposed to be monitoring its a nuclear program. And though Iran says it's only for civilian purposes, there's enough doubt that very few people actually believe it. So the point is to get Iran to restore its credibility, and one way to do that is to prove that it's not interested in a military program by getting rid of exporting and then shutting down this facility and the 20% uranium it's already put together.
We're speaking with Stephen Erlanger, Paris bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. The Iranian government has said that they won't accept preconditions to these negotiations. How much political latitude do they even have there to show what they see as weakness, giving in to the demands from the West?
Well, this is a big problem because the Iranian system, and Iranians themselves call it a system rather than a government, is very opaque. And the president, Ahmadinejad, who we hear a lot about, isn't very powerful right now. The supreme leader is in charge of the nuclear program, and it's not clear in the end what he wants. I mean, the negotiator is a man named Saeed Jalili, who's generally had a very hard line. And in the past, the Iranians have agreed to things tentatively and then gone back and found that the supreme leader doesn't agree. So it's been frustrating for everyone, I think, including many of the Iranians themselves. It's a very opaque system. It's hard to get a clear answer.
Well, how sure are we of our intelligence on Iran's capabilities? How do we know how close they are to building a nuclear weapon?
Well, we don't precisely know, partly because they've been hiding what they're doing from the IAEA, which they're not supposed to do. They have been building and enriching enough uranium that would go way beyond any of their needs as a civilian nuclear power, and they've been enriching it to a point getting close to bomb grade. So the general Western understanding, which is based on some intelligence, to be sure, is that Iran is on the way toward the capacity to build a nuclear weapon, though it denies that's what it's doing. But it is not yet decided that that's what it's going to do.
All right, we're speaking with Stephen Erlanger. President Obama has said these negotiations are Iran's last chance. Do you think he means last chance before further sanctions?
Well, it's hard to know what he means, which is exactly the point. I mean, he wants the Iranians to be worried. I mean, he says all options are on the table, that he won't accept containment, and that he's not bluffing. So the Israelis talk about military means. Obama would like the negotiations to be serious and to continue at least through the November elections.
Stephen Erlanger, Paris bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you.